This is Jake Brown, and I'm the credit manager for Egg Services. We are pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Egg Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Agriculture Today here on the Red River Farm Network. We're on the road today. Of course, a big day, crop report. We also are coming to you from the Cultivate Conference presented by Grand Farm. We'll have more on that in just a moment. But first, again, it is crop report day. Those important acreage numbers out this morning, stocks numbers as well. Luke Swenson joins us from the Money Farm. Luke, your big takeaway, first of all, as you take a look at this report.
First numbers were actually pretty boring. When you look at the stocks number, everything was in line. There wasn't a surprise anywhere there. Going into the report, we've been very hard on people saying, we want to be bearish. Corn, wheat, beans, we want to see the upside on just because we don't think the acreage are there. Looking at how people were planning, timing, you're going to see it go that way. And then the number came out, you shocked a little bit. Beans came in 2 million under average guess. Corn was right in line. Wheat, for the most part, right in line as well. And then you scroll down one page and you read, oh, hey, we're going to resurvey 4 million acres of corn, 16 million acres of beans, because they weren't planted by the time the surveys came back, you know, from end of May to beginning of June. And as soon as that came out, the market basically went from trying to rebound, turned around, cratered back down, and kind of just sat here testing new lows throughout the day as the day's gone on.
So we're looking at North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota, where we're going to be resurveying acres. We know what kind of challenges we had in this region. When they did that a couple of years ago, when we were going through some of the PP challenges, did it have much impact, do you think?
I think this year is a completely different animal, because that year we went out and we threw the MFP money at them, which is basically, hey, plant and we'll cover your corn seed. So, I mean, we were incentivized to make really bad decisions there. This year, it was the market that incentivized it. I mean, we were looking at, this is going to be ugly. There's a lot of people both sides of the river, probably 100-mile stretch wide of the red going north and south. And then all of a sudden, you get to June 5th, and people that 10 days before hadn't planted anything, they're 90%, they're 95, they're 100, they're finishing up. I mean, we were yesterday at the Bushel Conference, we were talking, you know, to growers that all is going to PP 500 acres of beans. And then literally, he said last week, he went out and did it again, you know. So you're still seeing people plant right into June. The markets have rewarded it. And you kind of knew it was coming. The downside is, I don't know if you're seeing the marketing going into it as you're planting late and dealing with some of this. So I think you're going to see a little bit more corn go in than people are estimating. I've got friends in the commercial side, they're betting more on the bean side, but it's kind of a mixed bag. I think PP is going to be a lot lower than we expect.
Acreage report, soybeans 88.3 million, corn 89.9. Again, soybeans, as you mentioned, a bit below expectations. Does that put a lot of pressure on us to really put together a good bean crop this year?
I think it does. The flip side is, I mean, everyone's for the most part in pretty good shape. There's not a lot of concern. You know, you got dry pockets popping up in different areas, but there's not a lot universally that's affecting anyone. And when you're looking at where stuff's been planted, how the weather's played out, I mean, we played catch up really quick, just like in 2019. We may have planted really late, but we planted for the most part into warm soil, shot that corn up really quick and played catch up.
You know, as we take a look at it, we're very fortunate in our region. We can grow a lot of crops in this footprint. When you look at some of those other specialty crops, dry beans, sunflowers, canola, what's happened there?
It's been wild. Obviously, it's kind of extrapolated with Ukraine basically falling off the map and Russia being exiled from the Western world. So that black swan is something that not a lot of people could have predicted market-wise going into how this spring would react. But, I mean, even going into that point, last fall, we've been telling people, pay attention to pulses, look at a lot of these different crops. Canola, any oil seed's going to be in high demand. And, I mean, you're setting record prices now. I mean, the bigger concern we had looking at acres, but it didn't shift too much, was people rolling out acres of, you know, taking act of God contracts from one specialty crop and moving to another when they got pushed past the planting date.
Pretty interesting. A lot of dynamics here at play. We've got to get to all those important numbers. Randy Coonan standing by. Again, we're coming to you from the Cultivate Conference in Fargo, put together by Grand Farm, talking with Luke Swenson from the Money Farm. Randy, what's happening in those numbers?
We are seeing September wheat in Minneapolis currently trading 23 and a quarter cents lower at 10.05 and a quarter. December's down 24 and a quarter at 10.15 and three quarters. Chicago September wheat's down 30 and three quarters at 8.99 and a quarter. September Kansas City wheat is down 23 and a quarter at 9.67 and three quarters. September corn down 23 and a half at 6.40 and a half. December's down 25 cents at 6.28 and three quarters. August soybeans 5.5 cents higher at 15.77. November's down a penny at 14.77 and a quarter. November canola is down $14.30 a metric ton, $877.80 Canadian. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Don Wick, reporting to you live from the Cultivate Conference in downtown Fargo, North Dakota. This is a space where agriculture meets tech. Randy Conan and Sierra Doctor are reporting back at the Red River Farm Network studios. Today's Cultivate Conference is presented by Grand Farm, and joining us is Grand Farm Director Brian Carroll. Brian, how is the Cultivate Conference going so far?
Well, I think it's been going great. I mean, the Cultivate Conference is designed to bring ag tech and farmers together, learn about each other's processes, and bring the feedback loop back into the technology so that we can actually solve some problems.
Well, and some big names here. I mean, people flew from all parts of the globe to be here in Fargo, North Dakota, just for these conversations.
And that's what we love. We love taking the local and introducing them to the traveler. And so this conference, in partnership with Bushel, has over 500 attendees over these last 3 days. And we estimated that 60% of our attendees are actually out of state. And so they're being exposed to the Red River Valley with technology, with the farmers, with the growers, and looking for ways in which they can take that feedback back into their products in order to solve problems that are more local for us.
And we'll get back more to this Cultivate Conference in a second, but I also want to talk about a big announcement that Grand Farm made today during this Cultivate Conference. We know you all are getting ready to move to Castleton, North Dakota, but fill us in on the timeline. We got a little bit clearer picture today.
Well, we're really excited. Today we announced that we just closed on 140 acres of land, which is right off the interstate, right outside of Castleton, and that's going to be the home of the Grand Farm Innovation Site. And this is where innovation is going to meet the rural areas, and we're going to find ways in which we can innovate solutions for the growers around the area.
So paint the picture for those that are listening out there. What is this final Grand Farm going to look like that's in Castleton?
There's really going to be three elements. The first element is we want startups to work with technologists and work with the grower to identify ways to grow and develop technology to solve pain points. We want to bring people out onto the farm to educate them on technology, farming practices. And the third one is we want this to be an educational facility. We want to get people excited about the future of agriculture and start to see themselves as part of the solution and perhaps a career in agriculture, especially as we move to more of the digitization of agriculture.
So I know I've been to your location south of Fargo, where you all have been temporarily before you've got this more permanent spot. And right now, there's just fields. Is this location in Castleton, is it just fields, or are there buildings there too?
Well, we're going to start with the fields, 140 acres, but we intend to build an innovation facility, which will be a makerspace, and this will be a place in which we can do regular gatherings of folks, but also places where organizations can work and collaborate together. Right now at our existing site, which is too small, 40 acres, we have about 320 projects. We expect to scale that to more and bring more partners out there and look for ways in which they can innovate and create these feedback loops amongst our partners.
Thank you for sharing that. We look forward to seeing ground starting to break on this in the fall.
We hope so as well.
So let's circle back here to the Cultivate Conference. I know we're sitting here at lunch. There's still some speakers in the other room here as we sit in downtown Fargo, but there's also an agenda this afternoon. Maybe give folks at home, if they're tuning in online, or if maybe they plan to attend in person, what's coming up?
Well, we love the topics. Three that I'll kind of highlight. One is going to be on carbon. Sequestration of carbon, what that means, traceability across the supply chain. And then we just announced our grower advisory panel. And so we're going to have an engagement with them around grower feedback and how that can be incorporated into the work that we do.
Well, Brian, thanks so much for joining us. Brian Carroll, Director of Grand Farm here at the Cultivate Conference in downtown Fargo, North Dakota. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Well, this is one event. We have events throughout the whole year, and so keep your eyes peeled on the Grand Farm website. Every week we have some sort of activity, some large, some small, but I'd love to see everyone out at the Grand Farm.
Brian, thanks for joining us, and I will be passing the microphone to Don Wick.
We continue with all the great information going on here at this Cultivate Conference. Dwayne Bernhardtson from KWS, a presenter earlier this morning. Dwayne, it's interesting. You talked during your time on stage about the connection of KWS, a longtime family company, really involved with this Grand Farm family.
Yeah, Don. KWS is really a family-based organization, large leader in the world seed-wise, and it's exciting to have the relationship with Grand Farm because it gives us an opportunity to get out in the field and do things that maybe growers don't want to see. So we want to look at innovation, and in order to see if it works for the grower, we need to see what doesn't work for the grower and to be able to look at those things and view it.
So if you want to work on something with weed control or bugs, the farmer doesn't want to have that happening in his field.
Yeah, we don't want to do that, nor do we want to do it in our breeding trials, because we want to, you know, we want to make sure that we're efficient, can bring the best genetics to the market as fast as possible. And having poor stands, weeds, bugs, disease, those things, it's just not conducive to that side of it. So being able to have the relationship with Grand Farm, we have, you could really say, a little sandbox that we can go out and play in and can work with that acreage and find the things that we need to be able to measure, quantify, and find solutions for to help the grower be more efficient and profitable.
KWS obviously is an international company. You've got eyes on all over the world. What's headquarters think about what we have going on right here at Grand Farm and in the Red River Valley?
It's great. It's a good thing to be able to do. We have, I mentioned it today, we have a group called we call it the DIA. It's our Innovation Accelerator Group, and they work to look worldwide at these things and bring them to us so that we can look, explore, and find, again, those things of value, not only in sugar beets, but we have, you know, all the field crops and things in that nature, something that people don't necessarily see here in the Red River Valley, but KWS is a large global player in really all the seed crops.
We appreciate the chance to connect.
Thanks, Don.
Dwayne Bernhardtson from KWS. Again, we're coming to you from the Grand Farm Cultivate Conference. We'll have more as we continue. Randy, back to you.
All righty. Thank you very much, guys. Get the latest news, weather updates anytime by listening to the Red River Farm Network podcast. You can find those at rrfn.com, Spotify, Amazon Alexa, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play. Reporting agriculture's business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network, reporting to you live from the Cultivate Conference in downtown Fargo, North Dakota. Joining me right now, we've got North Dakota State University Vice President of Agricultural Affairs, Greg Lardy. Greg, thanks for being with us today. You had a chance to be a speaker this morning and share some of the work that's being done at North Dakota State University.
Yeah, Kara, thanks for the invite to be on with you this afternoon. Yeah, I had a opportunity to be on the program this morning, talk a little bit about the things that are happening within NDSU agriculture and our new strategic plan.
So let's talk about how the strategic plan overlaps with some of this ag tech that we've been surrounded by today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our strategic plan in part revolves around partnerships and expanding partnerships that NDSU agriculture would have with any number of entities, including companies, businesses, nonprofits, government agencies. I mean, we just want to help expand our reach, and we do that through partnerships.
So one of the exciting things I know North Dakota State University is working on, offering precision agriculture program at the college, one of the only two land grants up here in the north?
Yeah, we're one of two universities that have a precision ag program, a four-year program. Very excited about that major. It came online about 3 years ago. We just had our first graduate come through the program about a year ago. And, you know, the student interest in that program is definitely growing, and I think in part because of this ag tech sector that's here in this community.
Greg, I know you not only got to have a chance to speak, but I'm sure take in some of the other discussions we've been having this morning. What resonates with you most when you come to this Cultivate conference?
Yeah, I think one of the things, Kara, I would say is, you know, that intersection of technology and agriculture. I think we're right on the cusp of having a number of things happen in agriculture that are going to be technology driven, that are going to lead to productivity increases, but also more emphasis on sustainability, being able to track some of those efforts, that sort of thing. And so when you think about the volumes of data that are going to come into our farms and ranches through any number of sensors or the Internet of Things, that system is going to really help spur additional productivity gains.
Greg Lardy, North Dakota State University. Thanks for joining us today. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
You know, just thankful to be here, Karen, thankful to work in a wonderful community that emphasizes agriculture every day.
Yeah, Greg, thanks for joining us. And once again, I've been reporting from the Cultivate Conference in downtown Fargo, North Dakota. If you can't hear, we've got a break for lunch, and the hallway where we're at is getting pretty packed here. If you have a chance this afternoon to stop on out for some of the workshops, we'd encourage you to do that. Again, I'm Kara Hart, along with Don Wick, here on the Red River Farm Network, throwing it back to you in the studio.
Thanks. Governor Tim Walz and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan are visiting a farm in central Minnesota today, where Governor Walz signed the agriculture bill. Red River Farm Network, Farm Broadcaster Sierra Doctor has more.
Governor Tim Walz is officially signing the $28 million ag bill today. Here's Minnesota Ag Commissioner Tom Peterson.
Well, we're really excited today. Governor Walz is going to hold the ceremonial bill signing for the agriculture, omnibus agriculture and drought relief bill. That also includes broadband funding today at the Marchuk Farm near Foley, Minnesota, which is near St. Cloud. So great to have ag leaders attend and really celebrate a $28 million investment in agriculture. So good day, good bipartisan bill, and good to celebrate some good news in agriculture.
Peterson says the ag bill hits on drought relief, among other investments.
I think for a lot of people, the drought relief is a big piece of that, over $10 million in grants and loans. As of today, we're going to go over 1,000 applications on that drought relief program. And then investments in meat processing, soil health, animal disease preparedness. So there's a lot of key investments for farmers in agriculture in rural Minnesota.
Reporting agriculture's business. I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
Reports of blister beetle are coming in through parts of North Dakota. Blister beetles can be toxic to livestock. To reduce the threat of toxicity from blister beetle, NDSU Extension is recommending cutting alfalfa at less than 10% bloom and allowing fields to fully dry before raking to encourage the beetles to move out of those windrows. Maize and Animal Health announced they're getting close to completing a novel vaccine that would be produced in corn and administered through animal feed. Maize's lead oral vaccine development is for the prevention of porcine epidemic diarrhea virus, or PEDV. Reporting agriculture's business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. We are coming to you from the Cultivate Conference underway in Fargo. Cultivate, brought to you by Grand Farm. And with us right now, Tristan Beyer, who is the crop nutrition lead with the Mosaic Company. Tristan, high-tech conference, what brings you to an event like this?
I think some of the neat things that the Cultivate Conference brings is a lot of different companies that are innovative in ag and their new concepts and ideas, how they can maybe be leveraged in agriculture to, you know, spark new things that we haven't thought of and really try to be an advocate and segue for some new concepts that can be applied for by growers.
So when you take a look at it from the Mosaic perspective, obviously a very innovative company, where do you see, where's the future go? What's the pipeline?
Obviously, as a global fertilizer company, we're interested in how can we, you know, enhance the efficiencies of our current products and, you know, allow for a greater proportion of those nutrients to be utilized. We're looking at, you know, new technologies from, you know, companies of how can we maybe model or quantify, measure the nutrients and how they're available to the crop throughout the growing season, and or even things that we can maybe incorporate into our fertilizers that might modify and enhance the availability and release dynamics of those nutrients to the crop as it grows. So really trying to mitigate the amount of nutrient shortages to maximize yields and ROI.
That's music to our ears, certainly, as we take a look at the fertilizer industry today in particular. Tristan Beyer with us, crop nutrition lead with the Mosaic Company. We're coming to you from the Cultivate Conference presented by Grand Farm. Randy, let's take a peek at those numbers.
Yeah, September wheat right now trading 25.5 cents lower at 10.03. December is down 27 at 10.13. September is down 30.25 in Chicago at 8.99 1/4. Kansas City September wheat's down 26.5 at 9.64 3/4. September corn down 26.25 at 6.37 3/4. December's down 26.5 at 6.27 1/4. August soybeans 5 3/4 cents higher at 15.77. And November soybeans are down 4 cents at 14.74 1/4. Canola down 15.90 a metric ton. Thanks for joining us. Have a great afternoon. This is the